Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday morning, April 30th. Hope it's going well for you on this Tuesday. I know we had a lot of rain in Michigan, from what Andrew was telling me overnight. But the rest, actually, lots of warm temperatures, 70s, 80s, and whatnot. So it could be, well, it always happens like this, doesn't it? We have cold, and all of a sudden we have a lot of rain, and then it's summer. Because spring isn't over yet, but it seems like summer comes, and then we have cold weather. I don't know. Michigan weather is crazy, but let's enjoy it while we can, especially the warmer temperatures. And we will give you the details in just a few minutes. Today we have a lot to talk about. So in two cents, what I want to discuss is a little bit more about what the Holy Father said over the weekend about, oh, we don't have a two cents today. Well, I guess I'll have to talk about that in Fact Check Friday. I forgot. But I did want to mention that the comments he made in Venice to young people were really important about putting down the cell phones and connecting with each other. And the reason that struck me as so powerful is because this past weekend, and I think I mentioned that Deacon Dom and I are over in Italy through the end of June. I'm researching my new book that's coming out, God willing, next year with Sophia, a new book all about Italy. And this past week, we went down to the Abruzzo region, which is east of Lazio. So we were in the town of Sulmona, which is gorgeous in the Mugello Mountains. And we were 2 hours east of Rome. And this town is known for a number of things, including their confetti. It's the confetti capital of Italy, where they make the almonds with all kinds of flavors and whatnot. And then they create these beautiful bouquets and flowers that look so real, but they're all edible. Anyway, I'm digressing. But we were there to do some stories on the history, get some information on the history of the town and the confetti making, went for a tour of the factory and all that stuff. But then Sunday, when we were on our way to dinner, there was a beautiful procession involving the saint that protects the town, St. Pelfino. And this procession was massive, thousands of people walking in this procession. But what struck me even before that, and even on Saturday night, we got there on Saturday morning, about 11 o'clock, and Saturday evening, before dinner, after dinner, Sunday, the same thing. The streets were filled with families and people interacting, kids playing soccer in the streets, girls jumping rope. It was all about family. It was all about friendship. It was all about fellowship. And I saw very few young people, maybe because it's a smaller town, on cell phones. And just the camaraderie and the connection between the people was so obvious. And I think that's what we miss a lot in places like the United States of America, especially big cities. So talk about that at some point this week. But it really struck me. Maybe I can talk about it with Vanessa when we have our In the News segment later on. But in the meantime, coming up at 8:15, we are going to be talking with Molly Modes. Molly is actually going back to Lourdes. She had a profound experience there. And we're going to have her tell us about it, and she has some background in terms of the connection to Malta. I want to leave the details to her because it's a very powerful story, so I'm going to talk with her about that, and thanks to our friends at Malta for giving this idea. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Father Ed Freedy. He is the pastor of Christ the King Catholic Church, and he is joining us because there's a wonderful event that is coming up, actually, tomorrow night, May 1st, at 7 o'clock in the cafeteria, Why Be Catholic, Season 13 at St. Mike's, and Father Ed is going to be there. And he actually is a convert to the faith, and he's going to be sharing his testimony. So that's coming up, and look forward to talking with Father Ed. It's been a while. Haven't chatted with him. He was one of our spiritual leaders on one of our Israel trips that we did with Steve Ray, and he was fantastic. So that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. And then in the second hour of the program today, I just lost my rundown and forgot who was on the show. Hold on 1 second. Here we go. Sorry about that. Mentioned Father Ed. Deacon Dominic Serrato will be back with us. We're going to be talking about the situation with the deacon and in terms of some people pushing for female deacons. He did a whole bunch of research on this, and we haven't had a chance to talk with him in detail about it, so he'll join us on that. And that's coming up at 9:15. And then we are going to be wrapping up with Kelsey Pritchard, Director of State Public Affairs for the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America List. And they are going to be talking about Arizona's abortion law and looking ahead to the election. So A lot to talk about this morning, a mixture of good news and some frustrating news with the pro-life movement, but we will keep you connected, hence the name of the program, Catholic Connection. All right, I promised you the weather. Now, in the forecast that I was looking at, the temperatures were a lot cooler, but Andrew double-checked it for me. And again, actually, as he mentioned, it's going to be very warm today. You are going to be probably hitting, I would say, mid-70s, maybe as high as 80, and then tomorrow in the 80s, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, mid-70s, and Friday we could get some rain, partly sunny skies. There's some showers in the forecast, but most of the time looking pretty good. Thursday, sunny, warm temperatures, mid-70s. Wednesday, the same. Friday is a chance of rain, 25%, and then on Saturday looking beautiful, mid-70s and partly cloudy skies, even warmer on Sunday and Monday as well. So for the next week or so, looking pretty good. Temps in the 70s to the low 80s, and Friday looks like the only chance of rain. But then the rest of the time, you've got, well, partly cloudy skies or full sunshine. So that is fantastic. Okay, a little bit of a different scene nationally. National Weather Service is talking about strong to severe thunderstorms and heavy rain in the central U.S., snow across northwest and northern Rockies areas. Strong to severe thunderstorms will be possible across the Central Plains and Missouri Valley today, and that's through this afternoon and tonight. The main threats will be damaging wind and large hail. A late-season low-pressure system will bring widespread high-elevation snow and lower-elevation rain across the Pacific Northwest toward the Northern Rockies through tomorrow, actually through today, and possibly tomorrow morning, but that's still questionable at this point. That is a look at the weather, both for Michigan and across the country. Appreciate your listenership. If you are listening outside of Michigan, don't forget everything can be found on our website at AveMariaRadio.net, including the archives, which Andrew puts up every single day. So if you want to go back and listen to an interview, you're welcome to do that. And you simply go to AveMariaRadio.net. Right now at 8:07 already, you have 55 degrees and clear skies in Michigan. Let's check the news on a Tuesday. Heartbreaking story out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Four law enforcement officers are dead and at least four others are hurt after a shootout in Charlotte. Governor Roy Cooper offering his condolences last night to the families of the victims.
It reminds us of the fact that these officers every day when they go out, whether they walk up to a car, whether they serve a warrant, violence can happen to them.
The police chief there, Johnny Jennings, saying the officers were part of a fugitive task force serving a warrant at a home yesterday when a suspect opened fire. That suspect was killed, but another person inside the home soon started firing. After the gunfire ended, two others inside the home were taken into custody for questioning. Secretary of State Antony Blinken urging Hamas to accept Israel's latest proposal for a ceasefire deal that includes the release of hostages. While in Saudi Arabia yesterday, Blinken calling the deal extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel and called on the terrorist group to quickly accept it.
The quickest way to bring this to an end is to get to a ceasefire and the release of hostages.
This comes as Hamas negotiators are meeting Qatar and Egyptian mediators in Cairo to discuss that proposal. More than 100 hostages are believed to still be being held in Gaza by the militant group. Student Hamas supporters, as Scott Pringle tells us, have now taken over a Columbia University campus building.
Pro-Palestinian students stormed Hamilton Hall overnight with reports that they turned over desks, smashed windows, and caused other damage. Student Jonas saw it happen.
So they moved outdoor heavy metal tables, blockaded the doors, formed human chains in front, and started protesting.
At this point, it appears Columbia officials have not involved the NYPD. The school is urging people, though, to try and avoid coming to the Morningside Heights campus today because of the protests. Protesters are demanding Columbia divest in Israel. Columbia has refused to meet that demand.
Columbia, meanwhile, is suspending students who refuse to leave the encampment on campus. However, it's unclear at this point how many students have actually been suspended. And the White House continuing to call for pro-Palestinian protesters on college campuses across the country to be peaceful. Anti-Defamation League CEO Jonathan Greenblatt says there have been some very disturbing events.
You had someone with a hatchet at University of Utah. You had students with hammers who broke into the building at Columbia last night. You had someone with a sword at UCLA on Sunday. This isn't normal.
White House press office saying that it's up to university leadership to handle the demonstrators, while the administration stands squarely against any violent rhetoric or anti-Semitism. Police are arresting people and tearing down an anti-Israel encampment on the University of Georgia. Meanwhile, the dean of students had warned that protests are protected speech, but the tents are not allowed. The group refused to leave, just like at many other college campuses around the country. Again, in New York, people at Columbia are refusing to take down their own encampment, and they faced a 2 p.m. deadline yesterday to do so. This weekend marked the five-year anniversary of the Poway San Diego synagogue shooting. As John Fink tells us, it left one person dead and three others hurt.
It was the final day of Passover in 2019 when a gunman walked into Chabad of Poway and opened fire. U.S. Border Patrol agent Jonathan Morales was off duty but happened to be attending services at the time. In 2020, he told NBC 7 it happened fast.
Just kind of natural instinct, just jump into action. So, you know, it was my duty to protect everyone there and, you know, minimize the injuries and casualties.
Morales, revolver in hand, chased the gunman out to his getaway car. Morales fired and hit the car, but not the shooter. The shooter was arrested a short time later and is now serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole. Jonathan Morales was honored as the 2019 Police Officer of the Year.
Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, according to Catholic News Agency, could be declared a saint during the year's 2025 Jubilee year, the Church's 2025 Jubilee year next year. That's according to the head of the Vatican Office for Saints' Causes. The Church leader announcing at Catholic Action's National Assembly in Italy on April 26 that Frassati's canonization is on the horizon. Pope St. John Paul II, who beatified him back in 1990, called him a man of the eight Beatitudes, describing him as entirely immersed in the mystery of God and totally dedicated to the constant service of his neighbor. I encourage you to read the full story on Catholic News Agency this morning. It's really, really well done with lots of background on this blessed. But in the meantime, we can tell you the young man from the northern Italy town of Turin was an avid mountaineer and a Third Order Dominican known for his charitable outreach. At the age of 17, he joined the St. Vincent de Paul Society, dedicating much of his spare time to taking care of the poor, the homeless, and the sick, as well as demobilized servicemen returning from World War I. He was also involved in the Apostleship of Prayer and Catholic Action. He obtained permission to receive daily communion and to be canonized, by the way, as a saint in the Church, a miracle attributed to his intercession will need to be officially recognized in a decree signed by the Pope. Pope Francis usually signs such types of decrees when he meets with the leader of the causes for the saints. In other news, five Republican-led states are challenging the Biden administration's overhaul of the Title IX situation in court. Louisiana, Mississippi, Idaho, Montana, and Texas suing to block the new changes. We talked about this yesterday on Catholic Connection. The administration earlier this week expanded the regulation to protect against sex-based discrimination in schools to include gender identity. The Archdiocese of Philadelphia, since November of 2022, had been investigating a priest, and the Archdiocese telling Catholic News Agency that priest Lee followed a review of St. Thomas More Parish's financial activity by the Archdiocese office. And Father Kozak had previously been pastor at the Pottswan, Pennsylvania parish, and he was recently investigated by the police department for a misspending of money. Pennsylvania law enforcement arresting him last week in connection with certain allegations. A criminal complaint filed by Pennsylvania State Police alleging that Father Kozak used credit cards for the purpose of obtaining property or services using parish funds valued at more than $41,000. According to the parish records, nearly 2,200 transactions are related to a category of spending identified as gaming. The nation's leading mobile carriers are being hit with hefty fines by the FCC for illegally sharing access to customers' location data without consent. In a news release sent out yesterday, the Federal Communications Commission saying T-Mobile is being fined more than $80 million, AT&T $57 million, and Verizon just under $47 million. The Federal Communications Commission also issuing a $12 million fine to Sprint, which was purchased by T-Mobile. The fines cap a four-year investigation that began under the Trump administration. All of the carriers say they intend to appeal. Tammy Trujillo tells us a 16-year-old who allegedly fired a gun in a shootout at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl victory rally will soon find out if he will be tried as an adult.
The teen is charged with felony unlawful use of a weapon in the February incident that saw one woman killed and more than 20 people injured. He's expected in court for a hearing today. Two adults are charged with second-degree murder in the shooting, and another 16-year-old is charged with possessing a gun and resisting arrest.
Spray painting drones are now being tested to remove graffiti in Washington State. The State Department of Transportation, they're running a pilot program in Tacoma and Olympia with drones that can paint over graffiti in hard-to-reach places such as overpasses, bridges, and walls. The drones have a tube that connects to a paint supply on the ground, and workers are being trained as drone operators. The tests are being done in construction zones where lanes are already closed because drones cannot be flown over moving traffic. And if the tests are successful, the program could be expanded next year to other areas. Good news to the Motor City as far as the NFL draft and the economic impact. Detroit tourism officials say the impact, financial-wise, of the attendance record-breaking NFL draft could exceed $150 to $175 million.
Visit Detroit President and CEO Claude Molinari says they're still finalizing the impact and will have a final report by June, but he predicts the amounts will exceed the estimates. Some 775,000 people attended the event, while another 34 million people watched the draft on TV. Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan says the city should be proud of the warm welcome it provided last week.
The missing emergency slide that came off a Delta Airlines plane after takeoff recovered by the New York City Parks Department. They say they found the slide on Rockaway Beach yesterday. Delta says an emergency exit slide separated from a plane departing JFK Friday morning. The FAA says Delta Flight 520 returning to JFK after the pilots and crew reported vibrations and banging sounds to air traffic control. The plane was in the air for about 33 minutes before returning to JFK. The FAA says it is investigating. The Supreme Court now declining to hear Elon Musk's challenge to an SEC order over his public posts about Tesla. The billionaire filing an appeal with the High Court, claiming the agreement to have a lawyer read his Tesla posts before they are sent violates his First Amendment speech rights. The 2018 settlement comes from arguments that Musk influenced Tesla stock with his social media posts, specifically tweeting about intentions to take the company private. And finally, in our news segment this morning, Rory O'Neill tells us for the first time in several months, confidence in the American economy is slipping.
After seven straight months of modest gains, the Economic Confidence Index by Gallup is taking a big step back. The index dropped another 9 points to minus 29 for the month, the lowest since December. The poll finds 24% of adults say the economy is excellent or good. 32% tell Gallup it's only fair. 44% describe the economy as poor. Two-thirds of those polled say economic conditions are getting worse.
It's 8:18 on a Monday. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Coming up, two very powerful testimony stories, first at 8:20, and then another one at the bottom of the hour with our own Father Fred from Father Ed Friede from, of course, Christ the King. He's got a beautiful testimony about his conversion, and he is going to be sharing it at St. Mike's. We'll also have a special story regarding Lourdes. That coming up in the first hour of Catholic Connection on a Tuesday. Very nice in Michigan, 55. Clear skies in the Motor City. We'll be right back.
The Encounter Conference, June 26th through the 28th at the New Glass City Center in Toledo, Ohio. 15 powerful speakers.
It is the encounter with the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus come alive and gives us the courage and the wisdom to go forth and to even risk our own lives.
Everyone pretty much says the miracles that Jesus did are real. The miracles that the early church did are real.
As often as the popes are talking about the new evangelization, they're also saying we need to pray for a new Pentecost. We need to return to the upper room. Encounter represents the church returning to the upper room. As we're coming boldly before God and asking Him to renew that Pentecostal fire for the strength, the gifts, and the wisdom to be able to preach Jesus to a lost and broken world so that we can become fully alive in Him, so that the world may come to believe that Jesus is the one whom God sent.
Register today at EncounterConference.org. That's EncounterConference.org.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio. I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, Pope St. John Paul II said that every encounter in the Bible between God and womanhood was an encounter of newness of life. It was so at the Annunciation, the empty tomb, and now at Jacob's Well.
Now on Ave Maria Radio's newest FM stations, 105.5 FM in Southfield and 107.9 FM in Ann Arbor.
If it's pasta you crave and you want it homemade, that's Antonio's.
If you're looking for real authentic Italian cuisine, Antonio's Cucina Italiana and Roman Village is the place to go. Everything is made fresh, in-house, fatto in casa. All our pastas, pizza, soups, and sauces are prepared fresh daily. Visit any Antonio's in Roman Village, where we do Italian right.
That's
Antonio's Cucina Italiana.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on a Tuesday morning. We are Ave Maria Radio, so we love Marian stories, and we have one this morning with our friend Molly Modes, and her story is very special. It was given to us by Andy Smith with the Order of Malta in southeastern Michigan and in this particular area. And Molly is on her way going back to Lourdes. And Molly, I don't want to give away any details, but this is your second time to Lourdes, and you're going back for a specific reason, correct? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
This is my second time going to Lourdes. I'm just going to really give back as a caregiver. I went as a malade previously. Mm-hmm. I actually have a kidney disease that I was diagnosed with in 2005, and it's a rare kidney disease called FSGS. And it was supposed to cause me to lose like all my kidney function within 10 years of diagnosis. And I went to Children's Hospital of Michigan, for treatment, and they said that I was deemed treatment resistant by my nephrology team. So I went through like a bunch of different clinical trials and plasmapheresis. So when I went to Lourdes, I actually came back and my team deemed me, they said that the aggressive nature of my disease had really become reluctant and had backed off. So I'm going back to Lourdes to really give back to the children and the adults who are going as malades, just to help them out.
Wow. This must be pretty incredible for you, though, considering that you are expected to be, at least according by medical standards, in a much different situation physically, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I also work at the University of Michigan in the pediatric ICU, so I see the kids who do have diseases like mine and do end up with transplants. So I should be in a very different place, but because of God's blessings, I am where I am today. So,
when you went as a malade, and what we mean by malade, my husband is in the Order of Malta, and I've been there with him for these events. It's just beautiful. And what Malta does is they sponsor people such as yourself who have a particular illness and go, hopefully, for a healing, not always a physical healing, but oftentimes a spiritual healing, which is just as important, right, in many ways. But what was it like for you? Do you remember your experience when you went when you were younger?
So I remember a little bit of it. My mom really has a great memory of it. She went with me. And, so I really felt like I was given the best treatment I could have gotten. They, really put all of their effort into their malades, to make sure all of any comfort you need is met. And it was just really a fantastic time. When I showed up at the hotel, I actually said, look, I'm walking the red carpet, because I just thought it was like so elegant and so great that I was going on this like fantastic trip. And it really was like almost like a Catholic Disney World. Like, it was unbelievable how beautiful it was, and how all the malades really came together afterwards, and how all of the knights and dames treated us, and I still remember it the entire time.
In terms of your faith, what impact did it have? Obviously, it had a huge impact on you physically, but what did it do faith-wise for you, do you think?
I think it really got my whole family super involved faithfully. My sisters and I all joined the Knights of Malta. So my sister saw the impact it had on me as a child, so they said they would also like to join. So we are all actually going, me and my three sisters, and we're leaving today for the trip. So they're super excited, and I think it really just brought us like even closer together.
That's amazing. So you're going with family. That's going to be a pretty emotional time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really emotional, and I think it's going to be a great time.
You're a member of Our Lady of Sorrows Parish, which is interesting because you're going, obviously, to a huge Marian site in Lourdes. How has your relationship changed, or how has it grown with the Blessed Mother after your experience in Lourdes?
You know, I really feel like I was closer to Blessed Mother, mostly really St. Bernadette. I know in when I was going for my confirmation, I actually used her a lot, and my family's always prayed to St. Bernadette after going, and I really think that that helped heal my kidneys to the point that we are today.
Now, did your Lord's experience influence you in going into the field of medicine?
Yes, it definitely did. I wanted to give back to children, so I actually went to Madonna University in Livonia, where I received my nursing degree, because I really felt like it was my calling to go to nursing school and help others. And from that, you know, I really wanted to fulfill. I had a promise to myself when I went with my mother that I was going to go back to Lourdes. When we went to leave, I said, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. And my mom said, aww, the only way you can return to Lourdes is if you go as a volunteer. And she said that to me when I was younger. So after pursuing my degree in nursing, I got my job, and then like 6 months into my job, I said to her, you know, I still really want to go back to Lourdes, and I want to bring my sisters. And my mom was like, that is so nice. So we reached out to some knights that are in New York, and they got us in contact with the Michigan chapter of the Order of Malta. Yeah. And so I joined then. So I wasn't, my sisters and I weren't really expecting that we would get a chance to go on the trip this year, but we are so excited to be going.
And aren't you leaving today?
We are leaving today at like 11.
Oh my God. So thank you for doing this interview, because I double checked when I was doing the prep for the show this morning and it didn't hit me. But then I looked at the calendar. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's April 30th. It is April 30th. So you're leaving today. So I know what it's like to have a flight going internationally. But that is just, this is so amazing. What a beautiful story of how you went there. You had that experience. You wanted to give back. You studied medicine, and now you're going back. So the whole circle, you're coming full circle in this.
Yeah, I really feel like it's bringing me, like, full circle. And I'm just excited that we can, like, devote our time to the Malads and show them the great care and energy that was put towards me when I was there. I'm excited to, like, give all that energy back to them and really treat them like kings and queens.
Yeah, it's really special. I mean, it's really a beautiful thing to see. I went there just as my husband. I was covering it, actually. To cover the actual story of the whole experience of the Malads and the people who were caring for them, which you'll be doing this time around. What would you say to those who are maybe not that familiar with the Order of Malta? They do such incredible work. I actually bumped into Andy Smith at the airport at the Delta Club. This is how actually this story came about, because we were in the Delta Club together, and I introduced myself to him because I recognized he had the Malta ID on his jacket. And I told him, you know, who I was, that my husband was in the Order of Malta, and we sat down and had a glass of wine together. He met Dominic, and we started talking. I said, you know, I love the Order, and I love talking about them on the air, so anything coming up, let me know. So he sends me great story ideas, and he sent me your story, and I was like, definitely want to interview Molly, so here you are. Yeah. What would you say to folks who might not be that familiar with the Order?
You know, the Order of Malta, really, I feel like we as a group really want to care for people who are sick and poor. So I feel like a lot of people have never heard of them because they do such work that I think goes unnoticed. But they have so many different facets of, things that they do. They They have a medical clinic downtown. They do dental. They do, they feed the homeless. They just do so many great works. And I think a lot of people miss that. So I'm really glad that my sisters and I are all a part of that.
Well, it's interesting because especially for someone like you in the medical profession who wants to give back, it really, I think, is a very good support for what you do, your profession, but also for you spiritually. And I just think it's awesome. So keep in touch. Send us some emails and let us know how it goes and take lots of photos because we'd love to hear an update in terms of what you're experiencing and how it goes for you there. Molly, thank you so much for joining us today on the day that you're leaving and going back to give thanks to God and his mama, Mama Mary, for your experience at Lourdes, your healing, and now to provide help and support for Malad's going this time around. You're leaving today, coming home May 7th. We'd love to hear back for you to see how it goes. Molly, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, have a great time. Be safe.
Okay, thank you.
Ciao, ciao. And we'll be right back. It's 8:30. We're going to talk about the next YB Catholic series with Father Ed from Christ the King Catholic Church. That's coming up. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It is a Tuesday morning, April 30th. Hope you're having a beautiful Tuesday. Warm weather in Michigan, warm here in Italy as well. We have the same weather, basically. It's already 80 degrees and sunny here in Umbria and going up to about 85 degrees. And I know that you've got beautiful warm weather in the Great Lakes State. Happy for that. Early summer temperatures. Well, we're still spring in the calendar, but we'll take it, right? Because as Rosie used to say, April showers and warm weather bring those May flowers. So hopefully things are blooming back home. They are here. We're glad you're tuned in to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Still working on getting Father Ed. He is scheduled to be with us to talk about tomorrow's Why Be Catholic. But first, let me give you that information just so we have it because it's a great event and I want people to go. Wednesday, May 1st, 7 p.m. in the cafeteria at St. Mike's in Livonia, Father Ed Friede, the pastor at Christ the King in Ann Arbor for the past 25 years. And his testimony is awesome, so you don't want to miss this. And I really hope we get him this morning. If not, maybe we can grab him tomorrow. He was scheduled to be on today. He was born into an average Protestant family, called himself a teenage agnostic who converted to Catholicism in high school. He's a nuclear physicist wannabe, so obviously a very smart man. No kidding, we knew that already. And he became a priest, obviously. Became active also in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Movement and again has been pastor of Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor for more than 25 years, serving personal experiences with Eucharistic miracles, actually. And he's going to be speaking again tomorrow night, 7 p.m. in the cafeteria, May 1st, as we wrap up April today. Wow. This is already season 13 of Why Be Catholic at St. Mike's in Livonia. Again, 7 p.m. in the cafeteria. St. Michael the Archangel Parish, a great place to be for this wonderful Why Be Catholic series. And again, Andrew will keep trying to get a hold of Father this morning. If not, we'll work on getting him with us, hopefully, God willing, for tomorrow. So I mentioned at the top of the hour that we didn't have a two cents today because we had that wonderful interview with Molly, who is on her way back to Lourdes. What a story, huh? Talk about a testimony. I was mentioning my interest in discussing what the Holy Father said to young people in Venice on Sunday. Now, interestingly enough, he said this on Sunday, where he spent the day saying Mass in St. Mark's Square, visiting with women at a local prison, meeting with young people. And this was about the same time when Deacon Dom and I were down in the beautiful Abruzzo town of Sulmona. The Abruzzo region is east of Rome. So if you're in Rome, you go about 2 hours east to get to Sulmona, but you can get to the actual Abruzzo region from Lazio in about, well, very easily in about an hour from Rome. It's a very pretty area. If you've never been to that part of the country, it's known for its national parks and its mountains, which are crazy, huge, and gorgeous. And it's very popular with hikers and nature lovers for obvious reasons. It's also one of the reasons we went down there as well for my book, is that it is connected to a number of mountain shrines in that area. St. Bartholomew, the Shrine of the Holy Spirit, and other shrines in that part of Abruzzo. Just incredible. So we were there and did some research and went to a couple of the shrines and then came back and went throughout the town. And it's also associated with, let me say this for those of you who have a sweet tooth, if you love candy, you want to go to Sulmona. And it's the capital of confetti in Italy. And confetti, we call them, I think, sometimes still Jordan almonds here in the United States. They're very popular in Italian-American weddings. I had them at my wedding, where you have the little white almonds, and you stuff them in the bag, and they're wedding favorites. It's a beautiful area. But what I noticed more than anything, I mean, it's a beautiful town, an old town, lots of history, you know, great food. But what I noticed were the people and the way they were reacting with each other and interacting with each other. And there was so much friendship and fellowship and people hanging out and having an aperitivo and doing their passeggiata, which is your stroll, usually after dinner or after lunch. Usually it's in the early evening. And I couldn't help but notice this is one of the busiest passeggiatas, both Saturday and Sunday. And I saw the kids, and they were playing. They were talking to each other. They were playing soccer in the street. The little girls were chatting with each other, jumping rope. It was absolutely incredible. And I thought about what the Holy Father said over the weekend, telling kids to get off the cell phones and to look at each other and to encounter God and each other. And I was thinking about that as the Pope was actually speaking in Venice, and then I wake up Monday morning and see what he was talking about while he was visiting Venice over the weekend, and it really, really hit home. He said, "Arise, get up from the ground, because we are made for heaven. Rise from sadness to lift your gaze. Rise to stand in front of life, not to sit on the couch and watch television. Put down the phones, arise, and be with each other." What a great bit of advice from the Holy Father, especially for our times. And speaking to the young people, because you see, just like in the United States, in the biggest cities, if you're in Rome, if you're in Milan, even in Venice, in the bigger cities where life is busy, you see things that are very much similar to here in the United States. But in the smaller towns, in the smaller villages, people still get it about the quality of life and relating to one another. So I just wanted to share that. 8:42, we will take a quick break, and we do have Father Ed. We did find him. Thank you, St. Anthony. We'll be right back. I'm really glad he's joining us, because tomorrow night is the YB Catholic series continuing at St. Mike's in Livonia, and you don't want to miss it. Father Ed will join us in just about 2 minutes. Stay tuned.
Pi Missionaries currently has 450 priests, brothers, and lay faithful serving the materially and spiritually poor in 19 countries. To support their work, join Pi Missionaries for their Taste of Italy fundraising dinner at Cantoro's Italian Market in Plymouth on Thursday, May 2nd from 6 to 9 p.m. For only $50, enjoy a night of delicious food and a variety of wines. Visit PIMEUSA.org and click the Get Involved tab to register today.
Dr. Ray Guarendi of The Doctor Is In has been described in many ways. Sensitive.
Are you kidding me? How'd that thought even bounce into your head?
Insightful.
I am flat out clueless. But at least I'm aware that I'm clueless.
Empathetic.
Oh, boy. If I were in your shoes, I'd jump out. Right now.
Well, nobody we know would use these descriptions. Just the same, you can talk with Dr. Ray yourself every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Well known to our Michigan family and around Michigan as well, our friend Father Ed, pastor of Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor, right across the street from us at Domino's Farms and Ave Maria Radio. Father Ed, happy belated Easter to you. So glad you joined us. So I've heard your testimony, and it is amazing. And you're going to be sharing that tomorrow night at YB Catholic. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
There's so much you could say about your journey, but what are the main points you want to share with folks tomorrow night?
Well, you know, especially I think in line with the gift of the Eucharistic revival that's going on, just the importance of the centrality of Jesus in our life and how our most amazing connection with him is in his presence in the Blessed Sacrament, his presence in the Eucharist. And I think that's always kind of a dynamic issue that needs to be addressed as far as people coming to know who Jesus is and then really appreciating when they know who he is, when they know they have a personal relationship with him, that the most perfect way they can encounter him is in the Blessed Sacrament.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Powerful. I was reading, we were doing the readings the other day, Deacon Dom and I, and there was a great reflection. I can't remember if it was Magnificat or Word Among Us because we use both and then we share the reflections. But it was talking about there's a difference of knowing of someone and knowing someone.
Right. So the difference between meeting, like if I wanted to meet a famous author like Teresa Tomeo, it's not enough just to read her book and think, oh, now I know Teresa. You know, it's about encountering the person. And if that happens, then obviously every different way that you contact the person is going to be much more enriched. But the fact that we don't do a great job of evangelizing, and so a lot of times our people just don't really have a concept of what an actual relationship with Jesus is like. So to do a better job evangelizing will only enhance people's ability to really experience him in the Eucharist as well.
I don't want to give everything away because I want people to show up tomorrow night to St. Mike's at 7 o'clock in the cafeteria, St. Mike's in Livonia, for the YB Catholic Series with Father Ed. But give us a little bit of a tease of your journey, because you were born in what you would call, you describe, a fairly average Protestant family. But right. Then you converted, and you were so strong a Catholic that you even became involved in the beautiful Charismatic Renewal Movement. So how did you first really get interested or find out about the Catholic faith?
Well, you know, the irony is when I had this encounter with Jesus and got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and like all that happened on Holy Thursday in 1971. I experienced Jesus' love and his presence, and I got baptized in the Spirit and prayed in tongues and the whole nine yards. The next day I went to my minister and I said, here's what happened last night. And he said, well, it's biblical, but it's not the kind of thing that would be welcome in this congregation. So I said to him, well, thank you and goodbye. Next day, Holy Saturday, I get up and I say to Jesus, well, I seem to have found you and lost my church. So if you want me to have a church, please find me one. Amen. The nanosecond I said, amen, my phone rings and it's a buddy of mine. He says, how'd you like to go to church with me today? Well, church with him that day was the Easter Vigil Mass.
Wow.
So that was my first encounter with Catholicism. I mean, I kind of dated this Catholic girl who lived across the street when we were in fourth grade, but that was about as close as I said come to the church at that point, you know. but the Easter Vigil Mass was celebrated by Bishop Paul Anderson, the Bishop of Duluth. And at that point, five of the Minnesota bishops were actually actively involved in the Charismatic Renewal, including Bishop Anderson. And he talked about what does it mean to encounter Jesus? What does it mean to experience the power of the Holy Spirit? And he described what had just happened to me. So it was like, wow, this is really, this is pretty sweet, you know. So that's kind of my first encounter with anything about Catholicism was going to the Easter Vigil Mass right after I'd had this conversion experience.
But talk about a wow moment. I mean, two wow moments. God's sentence is a phone call after you lost your original church and then going to the Easter Vigil, which is so beautiful, so full of so many smells and bells, which are so wonderful. I mean, talk about being just thrust into such a beautiful event in the Catholic Church.
Right. Funny thing is, my friend didn't really warn me what it was going to be like. And so he'd come in and, I think to myself, what, these people don't pay the electrical bills? Why is it dark in here, you know? And then, of course, the classic was, you know, I remember hearing from different people, you know, the Catholics don't read the Bible. The Catholics really aren't into Scripture. And thinking to myself during the Easter Vigil says, well, that's not true. They're going to read the whole thing tonight.
You know? Yeah, all the readings. How many did they have that night? Do you remember?
Oh, they had the whole shebang. It was all seven. Yeah, it was the full vigil.
And so you joined the Catholic Church, and how long after that did you start? I know the story, but I just wanted to tease it a little bit for people.
Sure.
How long after that did you discern the priesthood?
Well, my plans had originally been to be a nuclear physicist, mm-hmm. to go to University of Minnesota and get my degree in physics and then go to either Caltech or MIT and get do graduate work, etc. But when I gave my life to Jesus and experienced him, the interesting thing was that my desire to do that was just gone. And I knew I wanted to serve him full time, but I didn't know what that meant. And the idea that it meant not having a family and kids was just not in the picture, you know. So I went to the University of Minnesota majoring in physics anyway, kind of as a result of my parents being kind of insistent, because, you know, they'd seen me go through a bunch of different spiritual journeys, and that was all okay. But the one thing they didn't want to have happen was that anything interfered with my career track. So I went to the University of Minnesota and started majoring in physics. And there I met this girl going to daily mass at the Newman Center, and we fell in love, and I was all set to propose to her when toward the end of that fall semester, I had this really kind of Damascus Road encounter with Jesus when it came to, you know, him calling me to be a priest. And no, when I tell people, like, my experience of how he called me to be a priest was very clear, very specific, very dramatic. And in a certain sense, it was necessary that I had that kind of experience, because I was about to propose to this lady that I was very much in love with. So it wasn't enough to have some kind of spiritual warm fuzzy about the possibility of priesthood, because when you contrast that with having a beautiful woman in your life that you want to share your life with, you needed something very clear, very specific from Jesus that made it, you know, clear that this is what he wanted as far as priesthood goes. So I had this kind of amazing encounter on this retreat that I went on, that just kind of made it a non-negotiable situation. And the funny thing, of course, is when I went back and I told my girlfriend that Jesus was calling me to be a priest, and, you know, she bursts out laughing. And so, we know, that was not one of the responses I anticipated.
Right. You were looking for maybe some encouragement, and she burst out laughing. Okay. She didn't see you as a priest then, obviously. She thought you were kidding. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, the reason why she was laughing was because she said, you know, 2 weeks earlier, Jesus had made it clear to her that she was supposed to be a nun, but she was afraid to tell me.
I remember that now, because you told that story when we were when you were our spiritual director for the Israel trip. Oh, my gosh, that's right. So what happened with her? I forget.
She went into the convent for a while, but the difficulty was, you know, it was one of these kind of convents that had kind of gone off the cliff in the 70s, mm-hmm. So she ended up leaving, so she's married with kids now.
Now, in terms of what you like most about being a priest, you've been blessed to be at one parish for 25 years, more than 25 years. What means the most to you as a priest? Obviously, I'm sure the sacraments, the Eucharist, being able to, you know, celebrate Mass. But what is it, if you could encompass it, your journey in the priesthood, looking back over more than 25 years?
Well, I think it's the combination, in a sense, of the two different aspects of the Mass, you know, the liturgy of the word, because I love to preach. I love to tell people about Jesus. You love to watch people as they have this kind of aha moment when they suddenly realize more deeply just the riches and the beauty and the wealth of the Church's teaching, and how it, as Pope St. John Paul the Great said in Catechesi Tridendi, the bottom line of all catechesis is that it should result in contact with the person of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So you have this ability to minister the presence of Jesus to people through the wonderful gift of the liturgy of the word. And then, of course, the consecration itself. You know, that's always kind of the high point, and just Jesus is now present in this amazing way, body and blood, soul and divinity. So clearly, you know, the Mass itself has always been, you know, just the center of my priesthood. And as the Vatican Council talks about the fact that it's the source and summit of the Christian life, so that everything we do as followers of Jesus should proceed from the altar and lead back to the altar. And that's certainly been my experience as a priest, that that's always got to be the center point, you know.
So who do you think who would you like to show up tomorrow night? I mean, because it's always these are always great events and different testimonies, but is there a particular person you're praying for, or a type of person you're praying for to come tomorrow night?
Well, you know, the American bishops issued a statement, I think it was in the 80s, that their understanding was about 90% of practicing Catholics had never been actually evangelized. And so I would love to see people show up who have kind of an openness to the faith, but just need to hear more about what's possible. possible in a relationship with Jesus himself, so that they could come to recognize how much they're loved and how much the Savior is a Savior who loves to save and wants to be part of their lives. And so but not just to kind of do that in isolation, but to recognize that as Catholics, the culmination of that is when we come to receive the King of Kings. You know, Protestants have altar calls, which is kind of interesting because Protestant churches tend not to have altars. So The idea of coming forward to the altar and meeting Jesus, which the Protestants talk about, of course, they got from us, because we actually come forward to the altar to meet Jesus. And so to be able to help people kind of put those two together to have a more living, dynamic relationship with Jesus himself, and see how that is perfectly, you know, crystallized and coming forward and receiving the Eucharistic Lord, that would certainly be my desire.
Amen to that. Father Ed is going to be speaking tomorrow night, May 1st, Wednesday, 7 p.m. in the St. Mike's Cafeteria in Livonia, St. Michael the Archangel Parish, for their YB Catholic series. Be there. It's going to be great. We'll be right back.